Today, my dear faithful, is the Sunday within the octave of the Nativity. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was far advanced in years, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple by fastings and prayers, serving night and day. Now she, at the same hour coming in, confessed to the Lord, and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Divine Providence, my dear faithful, has many mysteries in its plans. There are some things that happen in history that human wisdom, our frail, weak minds, may struggle to understand. Why did God allow this? What was the purpose of this cross, this suffering, this trial? Today's gospel is one of these examples. According to human wisdom, if a loving child could plan out the life for his mother, you could be sure that he would give her every comfort possible. And yet, that is not what God Almighty, the most loving Son, did for his own mother, as again we see in today's Gospel. St. Luke records that after the joyous birth of Christ, the Holy Family stayed in Bethlehem until they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is the Feast of the Presentation, which the Church commemorates every year on February 2nd. Following the law of Moses, Our Lady had the exulting joy to offer the Christ child through the priest to his eternal Father. Her heart sang as she glorified God at this event. But so soon after, that same heart was pierced with the first sword of sorrow. As the Holy Family turned to leave the temple, Saint Simeon, an elderly priest, took our Savior into his hands and thanked God to behold the Messiah. My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That same hymn of joy resounded again in Our Lady's heart to hear another adore the infant God. But then Simeon turned to her. He warned Our Lady, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce." Mary received her child back from the priest after these words, and she clutched our Savior to her chest. For instead of the innocence and sweetness of the crib, she now trembled at the sight of the cross looming over her son, its shadow draped across his little body like an impending doom. Fear for her beloved child gripped her immaculate heart. Saint Bridget of Sweden, a saint of the 14th century, who received many revelations from our Lord and our Lady, describes what the Blessed Mother suffered at this knowledge of the cross. As she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, she foresaw the scourging of his flesh. The hands and feet of her child brought the thought of the nails which would pierce them. The face of her son, beautiful beyond the beauty of men, was the face men would spit upon. Her greatest joy now, the Christ child, was now her greatest sorrow as well. And there, my dear faithful, is the mystery of divine providence. The wisdom of God so often joins joy to sorrow. The path to the glory of heaven is fraught with temptation and trial. In fact, the cross is the only way of salvation. "If any man will come after me," our Savior declares, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Even from his crib, so to speak, when our Lord was just an innocent babe in arms, already he reaches out for and embraces the cross, as he was the one who gave that prophecy of suffering to Simeon. And who is it that Christ gives this sorrowful announcement to? His own mother. For the next 33 years, as St. Bridget tells us, as Mary watched her child's first steps, heard his first words, and tucked him safely to sleep each night, always that prophecy repeated in her mind. Joy was joined to sorrow, the cross hanging over the crib, because even for, in fact, especially for his own mother, trial would be the path to glory. St. Bridget tells us that with the sword of knowledge of the cross plunged into her heart, Mary looked up from the depths of her sorrow, ever offering herself and her will to God for his glory. She knew the cross would come, and the Blessed Mother trusted that it would be for the good. This did not take away her pain, but it gave it purpose, a goal, a triumph to earn by that same suffering. But what was it that would cause this sorrow? Not just her son's physical suffering and death, that Our Lady knew would come to pass, but above all, the sins that would demand such justice from God. Far more than any thorn, any beating, scourging, or nailing, even the crucifixion itself, sin wounds the Sacred Heart. God Almighty sees himself abandoned by his own sons and daughters, rejected and driven out of their souls, spurned for such base, selfish desires that are the heart of every sin. Our Blessed Mother, who loves God better than all the angels and saints, she suffers terribly at these wounds in the Sacred Heart. Together, our Lord and our Lady suffer every time men commit sin, and above all, at the sight of mortal sin. These are their children. The beloved souls Mary and Jesus embraced the cross itself for. And yet, these same souls throw themselves into the embrace of hell. Who can imagine that pain? Who can grasp what it must be like for our Blessed Mother? For today especially, it seems, she sees an entire world strewn with the dead souls of her children. How many swords of sorrow must pierce her immaculate heart today? And yet, there is hope. For there is Christ, his grace, his sacraments, most especially the sacrament of penance. As the Baltimore Catechism tells us, penance or confession is a sacrament in which the sins committed after baptism are forgiven. This, my dear faithful, was the whole purpose of the crib and the cross, of Mary's joys and her pains, her sorrows and her glories, the redemption of all mankind. She looks upon each of her sons and daughters, even though they be dead in mortal sin, and she hopes, she prays, she begs them to make a return to God. Come, my children, Mary would gladly call to them. Receive the sacraments. Return to life in my embrace. For you, I accepted the motherhood of God. For you, I stood at the cross as the sorrowful mother. And for you, I reign now as Queen of Heaven, summoning you to my throne and your salvation. How often, my dear faithful, are we the sorrows of Mary, the cause of her pain? But now we can be the cause of her joy. As our sin brought the cross to her heart, so our return to grace renews the crib with all its sweetness and tenderness. When we are in the state of grace, Mary, the Mother of God, holds us, her children, close to her heart. And her immaculate heart exults with a new hymn, for we have been restored to life. Her child is safe once more. And what greater gift from God can a mother ask than this? Let us then, my dear faithful, make a return to God Almighty and his Blessed Mother. If ever, God forbid, we have fallen into sin and wounded the sacred and immaculate hearts with the cross anew, let us run to confession and draw them back to the joy of the crib once more. Of course, we must do our part and make a worthy confession. To do this, as the Baltimore Catechism tells us, we must do five things. First, examine our conscience honestly. Second, have true sorrow or contrition for sin. Third, have a firm resolution to sin no more. Fourth, confess our sins to a priest. And last, perform the penance the priest gives. Of all these, though, the most essential is a true contrition and a firm resolution of sinning no more. Contrition is defined as a hatred of sin and a true grief of the soul for having offended God, with a firm purpose of sinning no more. Hatred and grief is what it is called, but it does not necessarily mean that we have to have a feeling of hatred or sorrow. True contrition is the matter of the will, a decision to turn from sin and reject it as an offense against God Almighty, as well as because of all the evil that results from it. Let us then turn from sin, my friends. Let us run to Mary and be a comfort to our mother. This year draws to an end. We start anew, and let us live it by living our faith. Let us turn aside from anything that may wound the heart of Mary. Let us rise from causing her heartbreaking sorrow to exhilarating joy at the sight of us, of you and me, her sons, her daughters, carrying our cross, conquering our trials, and achieving God's glory. How her immaculate heart will sing again as she offers you, her child, to God the Father. For then, even the cross was well worth it. For you are redeemed. You are glorious. You are on the road to your heavenly home to dwell forever at your blessed mother's side. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.